Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And then there were 16 as the madness continues coming our way Thursday night in the men's bracket. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can find him, Ian Fitzsimmons, at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me, Amber Wilson, at Amber W Sports. And we have gotten more madness all weekend long, Ian. And part of that madness was Creighton getting her done. Given it took a while, took OT and then some for Creighton to get her done, but got her done against Oregon, 86-73. And Ian, the man most responsible for that win, I think it's fair to say, Stephen Ashworth. And we are thrilled to have the Creighton guard joining us here. And Stephen, thanks so much for your time. You put up 21 in that game on Saturday. How did it feel to get that one under your belt? And do you think that these games that really test you help you as you move forward in this thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really excited to be here on the show with you guys tonight. And it's just fun playing in the tournament and playing meaningful games late into March. And I definitely think that when you have a test like that against a really talented against playing basketball in the country right now, to come out on top, I definitely think it prepares you moving forward in a tournament like this.
You came over from Utah State, and you and your wife said when you got to Creighton over there to Omaha, you said it felt like home. Now you've been there a while. What has the transition been like for you and your family?
Yeah, it's been nothing short of spectacular for me and my wife. We feel like we've been really accepted and welcomed into the community, and she's actually a florist here in Omaha, and she has her own little private business where she makes bouquets for birthdays, anniversaries, and does a few events here and there. And the community's just been fantastic about supporting her and that endeavor and supporting me on the court. And so it's been nothing short of what we've absolutely dreamed of.
All right, can Mama Ashworth, can she send me some stuff? Because I have a senior daughter, Stephen, in Rowan, right? And so does she do like senior high school bouquets and all that kind of stuff? Can you ship to Dallas is my question.
Yeah, I mean, if we were playing in Dallas this weekend, we could probably make something happen, but okay. We don't have the shipment on our reservoir right now, so maybe
we're getting there. Stephen,
you're a little busy, Stephen. Just you and your wife, you guys focus on the task at hand here for Creighton. Creighton guard Stephen Ashworth joining us here on Amber and Ian. So in that game, you put up 21, as I mentioned, on 6 of 18. You were out there for 42 minutes. You snagged 3 boards. You did it all. How did you feel? Tell me from a personal perspective, when did you realize that you were in the zone, and how did you feel putting your team on your back in that one?
Yeah, it was a super fun experience for myself individually and for our team. And I felt like in the first half, there was just shot after shot that didn't quite drop. And so I believe I started 0 for 5, but my teammates have always been great about just giving me the confidence to continue to shoot, continue to play my game, and try to find areas to be aggressive. And late in that second half, I believe we were down 58-52 and had been on about a 6-minute drought, actually. And coming out of a timeout, we had a play drawn up for a few different options, and my number was called, and I was able to step up and hit up a pull-up dribble 3-pointer. And I think that was kind of the moment where I felt like, okay, if there's other big shots to be taken, I'm ready to take them. And a few of them came my way later on down the game and then into overtime as well. And thankfully, I just credit the preparation of myself individually and my teammates to be able to pull through in those moments, and we were able to do so.
What's that like when it comes to your heart rate and everything else when Coach McDermott says, "All right, here's the play call," and you know it's coming to you in that kind of a critical moment?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I feel like my families probably have higher heart rates than I do in those moments. I got a few photos of friends and family just hiding behind couches or, covering their eyes when I was at the free throw line and, different plays throughout the game. But when I'm in those moments, I feel like I actually kind of slow my heart rate down just because I think naturally the human desire is that when you can't control something, you have higher anxiety. And so when I get the ball in those moments, I feel like, okay, I have some control, and it kind of calms me down. And I think that's just from hours and hours of preparation, honestly. And so it's fun when you can kind of get in those flow states, as athletes call it, late in games and when the game's on the line.
All right, you just reminded us of something, and we're told that your favorite movie is Inception, and that goes into heart rate and everything else. How much does that draw on your favorite movie? If you've ever seen it, folks, it's about 10, 12 years old. It's creepy. It's different, but it goes to heart rate and deep dives and dreams. How much do you draw on your favorite movie when you're in those moments?
That's a good question. I mean, I forgot that I probably said that was my favorite movie out there. It probably still is, actually. I really love that movie, just the in-depth dive that you have to go to figure out what the movie is even trying to be about. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever gone there, but I do a lot of breathing and different techniques when I'm either at the free throw line or just in timeouts. I obviously, being a point guard that shoots the ball somewhat well, I think that I've adapted a lot of Steph Curry type mindsets, and I understand that he does a lot of breathing in timeouts, before games, free throw line, and so just trying to always learn from those that have done it at the highest level. And I think that as I guess we saw on Saturday night, it paid off,
no doubt. Now, Amber, have you seen Inception with Leonardo DiCaprio?
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh, great movie. All right, so Stephen, this is you and I right now then, and anybody who's watched the movie Inception, what do you believe happened at the end when the totem, did it fall? Did it not fall? Was he in the dream? Was he not in the dream? The floor is yours, Stephen. Go.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, it's not even that big of a spoiler. It's kind of a spoiler, but that's how good the movie is. You probably won't even understand it until you actually see the totem. So, you know, I saw it wobble. And as a point guard, you have to predict things. You have to see things before they happen. And so, He wasn't dreaming. It was about to fall.
Damn! Wow! I'm with you.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
I love how you went point guard. You have to predict. It wobbled. Bam! I love that.
So since you have to predict as a point guard, give us a prediction. You guys have Tennessee on Friday, 10:09 p.m. Eastern. I'm sure you're already looking ahead of that game, watching game film. What's the prep like?
Yeah, we've had a great past 2 days of prep. We obviously had a late tip Saturday night, got home Sunday, and was able to kind of rest that Sunday, and then right back to work Monday and today. Watching the film, they're a very impressive team. They're really well coached, and they really get after the ball and deflect passes on the defensive end. And then whenever you have an All-American on your team, you're sitting pretty well on offense. And so to be able to match up against guys like Dalton Connect and Zakai Ziegler and their roster, I think that we match up well. We have a lot of similar players if you kind of look at just the dynamic and the way that we're built and they're built. So I think it'll be a great matchup. Two really well coached teams that are playing some of their best basketball in March. And so that's what the Sweet 16 is all about, is high-level games. And I think that we're going to get one on Friday.
If you're, who is your mall? If staying with Inception, if there is one mall, if anyone has ever seen the movie Inception, you know what I'm talking about. I know Stephen Ashworth, point guard, you know, Creighton Blue Jays does. If there's a mall for your team, who is it?
If there's a what for our team?
The wife. The wife who passed away.
See, Stephen is regretting ever saying in the press publicly that his Inception was his favorite movie one time.
No doubt. No doubt he is, right?
Yeah, I honestly don't even know how to answer that question. I'm sorry.
I'm
going to be honest.
That's fair, Stephen. I don't either. We will be watching you against Tennessee again Friday, 10:09 p.m. Eastern tip. Good luck moving forward.
Thank you guys so much. You guys have a great night.
Go get them, man. See you, bud.
Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. Killing it.
I cannot believe it. You've never seen that movie. Now it's probably, I'm guessing, 12 to 15 years old. But
I'm so not a movie person. Like I really don't watch movies.
It is a great, great creepy movie. I mean, yeah, it really
like
is
creepy. So that's the other thing. Here's the thing with me with movies. Like, I don't like, don't make me think. Okay. Like, I'm not
thinking. Oh, no. In this one,
you're not
going to
hook me for three hours to think. Okay. I have enough of my life to think about. I don't need you to make me think all deep and stuff. No. Give me fluff. Give me crap. And let's keep it moving. Okay.
By the way, I loved his answer on the totem. And if you've ever seen Inception, and you can tweet at Amber right now, at Amber W Sports. Trust me.
I mean, you can tweet to me, but I'm not going to know what you're talking about.
I never actually thought about the totem toggling there. And as a point guard, he's thinking ahead. Yeah, he was in reality. There you go. Leonardo DiCaprio. He was in reality.
You say so. 2010. That movie is 14 years old. Coming up next here. On
still
Amber
creeps
Amber,
me
which,
out.
By the way, I mean, how old is Steven? Like, 14 years old for that movie. He had to have been pretty
old. He was a kid.
Yeah, no kidding. Coming up next year on Amber and Aaron, there's lots happening on the women's side of the bracket as well. We will get further into the madness that is March.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Very serious music that we're coming into the segment.
It's very dark.
With, and it's very serious. I
is
mean,
this
it
on
is,
the heels of our Inception
die.
Talk, right, with Stephen Ashworth, point guard for the Creighton Blue Jays?
Sounds like some crud that James would listen to. I got to
be
honest.
This is a banger. This song is excellent.
Like, I have no idea who this is, but I am very sure that this is on James Steele's playlist. There is a theme today, and I'm starting to think the theme, because Rachel Robinson, RAP, she always has a theme, and I'm starting to think that the theme is just going to end up being music James Steele likes.
Is this
we'll
from
see.
The movie Rockstar? Is that what this is from?
Yeah.
That awful, great movie?
I wouldn't say it's awful. I think it's great.
Oh, it's a great, awful movie.
Who was in that movie?
Marky
Wahlberg.
Mark.
That's right.
Zach Wilde.
That's right. I liked that movie, actually. I remember liking that movie, even though it was a good movie.
Let's just put it this way.
Jennifer Aniston?
In that movie where Mark Wahlberg is playing a rock star, and he was a garage band singer who was discovered
in
Pittsburgh. And that. And then next thing you know, after his first night on stage, a young lady is wearing his leather pants, but is standing upright using the restroom wearing his pants. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That is what you need to know about that movie. All right, let's move on to the women's tournament. And I don't feel like any transition that, like, there is a transition to be had there,
leather.
But I feel like any transition that I make there, little dicey. So we're just going to go and jump right into things. Nearly 5 million people watched Caitlin Clark in Iowa escape the West Virginia Mountaineers. Nearly 5 million people. Now, Iowa had set a viewership record for a non-Final Four game in with 3.23 million viewers when Iowa took on Holy Cross on ABC. So then, exactly 48 hours later, the Hawkeyes broke their own record with 4.9 million viewers in this game, and almost 5 million people got what they signed up for because it was a hell of a game. West Virginia hung in there and did not make things easy for Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, I mean, watching this game live last night with Jonathan Zaslow, Zaz and I were going nuts because West Virginia came out and jumped out to an 11-2 lead. We're going, oh baby, they are not afraid to be at Iowa. And a lot of folks forget, these first two rounds, they're on campus. These are home games for the higher seed. And the Lady Mountaineers came in going, we don't care about Caitlin Clark and the mighty one-seeded Iowa Lady Hawkeyes. We're here to win. And they were. And then you fast forward to the fourth quarter, and it's a tie ball game. I mean, it's 52-all. And Caitlin Clark going into half, I mean, she looked like she was ready to eviscerate everybody in her week. In her way, you name it. I mean, peripheral vision, don't look at her. And she came out on fire. But West Virginia didn't care. I mean, they played their tails off. Now, were there some questionable calls? Yeah, you can make that comment. You can, and it holds.
Questionable calls. I know McAfee was pointing out today. I think it was like the disparity of like
it was an attempt at the three throws, none
from West Virginia down the stretch.
It was one of those
obviously McAfee's a WVU grad, so he was not going to be.
Yeah, but he also loves Caitlin, right? I mean, so but anyway, he is a Mountaineer through and through. But bottom line is, man, that woman moves the needle. South Carolina moves the needle. Paige Beckers last night was outstanding for UConn, going for 32-11. I mean, she was absolutely sensational. And the numbers are proving it, right? People are dialing in. Why? Because if you have a generational-type athlete like Caitlin Clark is, if you have a head coach in a program that is now supplanted what Pat Summitt was doing at Tennessee and Gino Auriemma, who's still at UConn, right? But it ain't the same. Dawn Staley is taking South Kakalaki, and she's doing at South Carolina what Gino was doing at UConn and what Pat Summitt was doing at Tennessee. Those were must-watch games, and that's where Dawn Staley is right now. But Caitlin Clark, as an individual player, she's one of those where if you have LeBron James and Steph Curry and people of that ilk tweeting and going to Instagram to comment on what Caitlin Clark is doing, that's when you know you're witnessing greatness in the moment. And last night, she put that team on her back, and they found a way to get to the Sweet 16 and survive in advance, and America was watching.
America certainly was watching, and they were watching Caitlin Clark lead the way for her team. She ended up putting up 32 points. She helped the number one seed survive in this one. Here is the Iowa guard on that tough, tough game against West Virginia.
To be honest, like looking back on our journey last year, to me, this is like one of the hardest rounds in the NCAA tournament. Everybody is really good. You're expected to win. You're on your home court. We have all the pressure in the world. They have absolutely nothing to lose to come in here and upset us. And so I think our group was never flustered by any means when they went and tied it up. Yes, we had so many opportunities tonight where we got to a 10-point lead, a 7-point lead, and we couldn't figure out a way to extend it. And honestly, we just didn't shoot the ball very well. We just didn't make shots. West Virginia is, you know, a really good basketball team, and we found a way to win. We changed up our defenses. We got big rebounds when it mattered. We made big free throws. There's a lot of positive to take away from this when maybe we didn't even play our best basketball or didn't look as pretty. I think that's more fulfilling of a win for us than, you know, going out there and winning by 30 points.
So that's one of the big stories, of course, in women's sports. The other one, frankly, isn't happening on the court, Ian. And Kim Mulkey, the head coach of LSU, she went on a 4-minute rant going after her next big opponent, which apparently is actually the Washington Post and not actually anybody that they're playing in this women's bracket. 4 minutes on Saturday in her post-game presser doing the whole fake news bit and, you know, the media and media's enemy of the state, all that stuff that everybody has to do whenever they're going to get negative publicity in 2024. And so we assume that there is going to be negative publicity. But she certainly called attention to something that most of us were wholly unaware was coming.
Had no idea. None. None whatsoever that the Washington Post was for a year and a half, 2 years, trying to do some piece on Kim Mulkey, LSU women's head coach. And she was posed the question, were there any distractions from outside factors? This is after the rant, but a question the day after she went unsolicited, telling the Washington Post, if you come after me and post this, you know, article, I'm going to sue you. Here's Kim Mulkey the day after.
No, listen, man, we're not going to let one sleazy reporter distract us from what we're trying to do. Absolutely not. My kids didn't even know I said that yesterday. That team's not involved in this. They were in shock when they saw all that on the internet. I don't take that stuff to my team.
Well, you did because you said it, and now they know about it. You just said they know about it. They had no idea. Now they do. And Amber, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this because here's where I stand. I'm curious to see if you are in step or completely disagree. This may be the most read Washington Post sports article since Dexter Manley, Pro Bowl defensive end for the Washington then Redskins, got popped for cocaine. I didn't know there was some expose or whatever about Kim Mulkey. She drew attention to it. Now, because she drew attention to it, how many more people are going to read it compared to if it was just printed?
Oh, absolutely. If you're the Washington Post, you better put this puppy behind a paywall. If you weren't planning to already, make sure you do now because you're about to make some money, honey, off of this, the interest in this thing. Because absolutely, Mulkey brought interest to this thing. But also, I'm assuming whatever's coming for, because she's calling the reporter sleazy already. She's doing, like I said, the whole fake news bit, which is what you got to do if it's something negative that's coming down the pipe. And so I assume she's trying to go ahead and cast doubt on the front end instead of us waiting for her to cast doubt on the back end before we even know what the story is. Absolutely, we'll be all tuning into the story, pulling it up, trying to read it. And if we weren't subscribers to the Washington Post, we certainly will be. Coming up next, plenty more here on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I don't know what today's music theme is from Rachel Robinson, but I'm starting to think it's just weird music. Like weird music I would never listen
to. I've got it. I'm going to make it an early guess. I have no idea what this song is.
I've never heard
it. But because we have never heard it, I'm going songs from movie soundtracks.
You'll find out at 9:45.
If that was true, I feel like she'd be using more iconic songs and not this, which I never heard the song in my life. I could have gone the rest of my life.
I have no idea. That song
without
sucks.
Ever hearing the song. And last segment, she played a headbanger, and I thought it was just James Steele's playlist that she was playing. I'm not sure that this would
be a good theme, to be honest. I like a lot of really good music.
I disagree. Good is, you know, in the eye of the beholder. All right.
Wow.
Some people don't think Dak Prescott's good. That's also in the eye of the beholder. Depends who you talk to about Dak Prescott. Pretty absurd, actually, when you pull the numbers, because I think there should be an overall consensus, frankly, that he's pretty darn good. But, you know, he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, so that's going to come with a lot of scrutiny. And what does that mean for the future of Dak in Dallas? It appears that the Cowboys and Dak are not reaching a deal. At least they haven't thus far. They like did that mini tiny restructure of his contract, Ian, that just freed up like $5 million in cap space for the Cowboys. But they haven't actually extended Dak, which is what we expected, considering he's still, even with that little restructuring, he's still a monster cap hit for them this season. And going into the final year here of a deal, he would be a free agent after this upcoming season if he doesn't get an extension worked out with the Cowboys. We're not used to high-profile quarterbacks doing that. We're not really used to that situation being the case here in Dallas, but it's starting to look like maybe that's the direction that they're headed. And people like Ian Rappaport are reporting that there's no expectation that the two sides are going to reach an agreement here or an extension. Can you believe, Ian, that we could be living in a world where Dak Prescott's a free agent in 2025?
Yes. We talked about this a month ago. Deals do not get done with the Dallas Cowboys until deadlines approach. I covered this team for years, and anybody who's covered it longer than I have, from Todd Archer to Ed Werder to Clarence E. Hill Jr. to Calvin Watkins, right? I mean, from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram to The Athletic. I mean, I'm telling you, deals don't get done with big-name athletes. Go back to Emmitt Smith. Remember that? When Derek Lassick had to come in as a rookie running back out of Alabama in the first two games of the season when Emmitt Smith was holding out. And finally, they saw what life was like without Emmitt Smith. It's a little bit different. Even though Lassick wasn't bad, but you had veterans like Nate Newton and, you know, not Troy publicly, but behind the scenes, all going, it ain't the same offense with this rookie compared to Emmitt. And the deal got done. Deals get done with the Jones family when deadlines come due. And if they don't think that the deal is worth it, guess what? They'll ride it out. And if you're Dak, again, we talked about this a month ago, and we'll talk about it until August. If I'm Dak, and I'm his representation, and you know this history with the Dallas Cowboys and the Jones family, there is no way in football Hades that I'm signing any deal until August. And by the way, Dak can bet on himself. He's going to get paid $55 million this year. He's a $59 million cap hit. So if the Cowboys don't get a deal done, Dak can pull a Kirk Cousins and bet on himself. Ball out like he did last year outside of the playoffs when, hey, by the way, lights brightest, stage biggest, and he wilted. Along with that entire team, they wilted against the youngest team in the NFL in the Green Bay Packers. But Dak is still in the upper third, right? Probably top 10 in the NFL when it comes to quarterback play. If he becomes an unrestricted free agent next year, unrestricted free agent, how many teams would money whip the hell out of him to get his services?
So many. It doesn't matter. These 2-5 in the postseason.
Dak
so many
controls
teams.
Everything. He controls everything, and the Jones family knows it. Dak knows it. I promise you, a deal is not going to be done if one does get done until August when it comes to Dak and the Cowboys.
But you're flip-flopping there because you're saying that Dak has the power, which I wholeheartedly agree with, that Dak has all the power in this situation. He's got a no trade clause, he's got a no franchise tag, and he's got, like, excuse
everything.
Me, the weather. Like you mentioned, that $59.5 million cap hit still, even after the restructure. He's got all of the leverage here. But what you're saying is the Cowboys won't give him a deal until deadline, until their backs are against the wall. If I'm Dak, I'm betting on myself. I don't understand why quarterbacks don't do this other than Kirk. And hell, we have seen the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Injury. That's the reason. I know. Amber's playing hurt here. God bless you.
I'm choking.
The answer is one reason. The one reason that quarterbacks or most players don't do this is because of injury. You want the long-term deal.
Kirk is darn near 40 years old, coming off of a major injury, and that man just got paid by Atlanta. The injury conversation, it's for that position. If you're a good quarterback, I'm not talking Tom Brady. I'm talking good, solid quarterback like Kirk Cousins. You are going to get paid either way. I have no idea why they don't look at that model and bet on themselves now every time.
I agree with you. I'm not flip-flopping. I'm giving you both sides. The Dallas Cowboys side is they always wait till the end of the deal, until the deadline is approaching, and that's when they finally get deals done. Look at their history. I'm giving you the other side. If I'm Dak, I'm not signing a deal. I don't care what damn deal you put in front of me until August. And by the way, if I'm Dak, I would bet on myself for what you just said. You're going to get paid $55 million guaranteed this year. That means you are over $200 million guaranteed take-home money you have already made in your NFL career. I would bet on myself and become an unrestricted free agent with a salary cap going up again next year. Imagine what the open market would be, especially if, and it's a big damn if, you finally guide the Dallas Cowboys past the division round into an NFC championship game. Could you imagine what the market would be if he were to ball out? If Dak bets on himself, damn.
I can imagine what it is if he doesn't ball out, right? I mean, it's not exactly Kirk Cousins balling out in the postseason. That's made that man about $300 million in his career. It's just him being a solid quarterback during the regular season. Dak's already that. That's inarguable that Dak is that.
You're right.
If you want to insult Dak, you have to throw in the postseason record in order to do it. Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, he said that it's that they're so great. This is why they're in this situation.
I'm very satisfied that we've had the rosters that we wanted to have over the last 3-4 years. So with that in mind, we've got to pay the fiddler for having those rosters. Dak wants to do any and everything he can on and off the field to help us win. We are where we are. We have our contract. We're locked and loaded for this year.
And we're going to try and pay him, but if we can't, then we're on the hook for $55 million and a $59 million cap hit.
I mean, they certainly can
pay him. I'll just finish that sentence for you, Jerry. There you go.
They certainly can pay him. Do they want to pay him? Do they want to pay him what he wants, what he can command right now? And if you're Dak Prescott, like, sure, you want to do what you can to help them win games.
Without a doubt.
But also, you want to get paid. I mean, that's the reality of it. You want to get paid, and you know you could if you test free agency in 25.
It's not easy for the Cowboys right now because you're also looking to pay Micah Parsons. You're also looking to pay C.D. Lamb, right? And, look, you need a Mike linebacker. I know you signed Eric Kendricks, but he's on the back end of his career. It's a one-year contract. You know, and you also need a boy dog warrior as a three technique. And I'm talking about, you know, a Murphy or Sweat from the Texas Longhorns. That kind of a three technique where a run-stopping, space-eating monster in the middle. They don't have that. They don't have an alpha Mike linebacker. They don't. And that if I'm in the draft, those are two monster needs for the Dallas Cowboys. But when it comes to Dak, folks, Amber, I really don't think that a lot of people understand how much control Dak Prescott really has. He has all of it, every bit of it. He has a no trade. He can be an unrestricted free agent. He can sign a long-term deal and save them a boatload of money, or he can restructure his deal yet again if they want to and borrow from Peter to pay Paul. But no matter what, he's going to be owed $55 million this year. So no matter what happens, Dak can either get a long-term deal or play it out this year, bet on himself. No matter what, he holds all the cards. If he wants to be a free agent and go Kirk Cousins, as Cousins did with the then Washington Redskins, now Commanders, he can. Why? Because the Cowboys allowed it to happen and gave him all of that power in his last contract. If anybody wants to blame Dak, don't. Blame the Dallas Cowboys, if you're a Cowboy fan, for giving Dak and his representation all of this power, because he has every bit of it.
He has every bit of it. He certainly, I would imagine, is doing some flexing of it now, and it's probably why we don't have a deal in place. The reality is it's beneficial to the Cowboys to get a deal done with Dak because they can restructure the whole thing, and all of a sudden that $59.5 million cap hit that they still are dealing with goes away. They can go ahead and elongate things, quite literally, and spread things out. So yes, Dak ends up getting paid over time, and he ends up getting his security in terms of years, but also it's beneficial to the Cowboys because they can make his cap hit per year so much less than it is right now for this upcoming year. I thought that this deal would have already done been had would have been done because of the benefit to the Cowboys. But apparently not.
Not with the Cowboys.
And so maybe there's, you know, maybe there's some idea that they don't actually want to move forward with Dak in the future. Things should get interesting.
I don't want to misconstrue, Amber. When I say the deals get done at the deadline with the Dallas Cowboys, they want Dak. They do. There is zero doubt about that. They want Dak to be their quarterback forever and retire a Cowboy. When it comes to Dallas, though, deals don't get done with the Jones family until deadlines approach, if that makes sense.
All right, I need to go get some tea. Also,
hang in there.
More importantly, the NFL. We just saw one of the biggest rules changes in NFL history. We'll get into that next here on ESPN Radio.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Owners approve the ban of the hip drop tackle. It will be a 15-yard penalty if flagged in games.
I'm not happy about it. I'm not cool with it. I'm a former offensive player. I'm thinking we're getting to a point now where defensive players are going to be thinking entirely too much and going to open themselves up to injury.
I understand what the NFL is trying to do by making the game safer, but what they're really doing is making it unsafe for defenders. When you think of this, like, how is a guy supposed to tackle an offensive guy from behind now?
So huge changes in the NFL, Ian, and we knew that there was going to be likely some rules changes coming down the pipe, and we knew that they had been put to vote here at the owners' meetings in Orlando, and the kickoff rule change was actually passed, that they stole from the XFL. So kickoffs this season in the NFL, it's been passed for this season, so we'll see how it works out moving forward and if it's an implemented permanent change, but kickoffs are going to look really different. And I think it's like the most different rule change because,
no doubt,
again, physically, it's going to seem so incredibly different. Like, we've seen little rules changes, you know, like you can't breathe on the quarterback. That's quite different than it once was. Those sorts of things. But even the other change with the hip drop tackle, that's not going to be quite as obvious. This thing, that is just a huge schematic change in the way that the game is played. It's going to be jarring for people. Imagine if you didn't listen to the off-season news and if you weren't big fan, you know, you weren't these people that are like tuning into ESPN all year long, but you are tuning into the NFL when NFL season starts. Those people are going to be so confused at that first kickoff.
So they're adopting the XFL kickoff, and I had the privilege of being part of the broadcast crews for the XFL last year. Now it's the UFL, and ironically, the UFL is adopting the USFL rules because USFL and XFL merged, right? And the USFL, Amber, is a more traditional-looking kickoff, but they kick from the 20-yard line to damn near ensure a kick return. But the returning team has to have 8 players in the box, meaning 10 yards from the kickoff team. So both you have the kick team charging, the return team retreating, right? So you don't have collisions. It's not like you have guys back on the 10-yard line, 20-yard line, forming a wedge, right? You know, so in the USFL, which is now the UFL rule, the kick coverage team and the return team are both going in the same direction, and then they stop. The return team stops, and then you have your points of attack. But it's not nearly as fierce as it is in the NFL. The NFL decided not to go with the USFL rule, which the UFL is doing this year, starting this weekend. They went with what Dean Blandino and Russ Brandon, damn near 2 decades in as the Buffalo Bills executive, right, and team president, and Dean Blandino, longtime official, dean of officials for the NFL. This is what it's going to look like, folks. And to your point, the optics of what the UFL implemented, right, looks like a traditional NFL kickoff. The XFL, you're going to have the kicker on the 35-yard line. His kick coverage team is going to be on the opposing 40-yard line. The return team is going to be 5 yards across from them.
Right. That's the huge difference is how close they are. They're just 5 yards apart.
But you're also already in plus territory. So and the reason Dean Blandino will join us coming up in the final hour of the program to further explain this. But from the way he explained it to me last year, Amber, is that was where the point of contact happened. The most vicious hits happened between the 40 and 35 on the receiving team side of the 50. Now the ball hits in a landing zone from a 20 to the goal line. If it goes across the goal line, ball comes out to I think 25, right? You return it, and no one can move, right? From the kick coverage team to the return team, no one can move until the ball either hits the ground or is received, and then you go at it.
Which I don't understand how the return team – I mean the – You have the return official, team, how do they even know?
You have an official behind the kicker, right, whose hand is in the air, okay. And the return team sees that official. That's all they're looking at. And the moment his hand goes down, the ball is either hit the ground or received, okay. And they go at it. So
that makes sense because I kept thinking
the kick team also sees another official on the other end. The moment his hand goes down, you can go at it. So I hope that answers your question.
No, that does. It very much answers my question. That was going to be my big concern here.
But optics,
how does everybody know with this new rule?
Yeah, and optics, it doesn't look like your traditional NFL kick. And Daryl Moose Johnston, you know, three-time Super Bowl champion, Dallas Cowboys, Fox, you know, NFL analyst, he joined us about a month ago talking about this and explained why he was adamant when the merger happened with the XFL and the USFL that he wanted their kick to be implemented because it was a more traditional-looking optic style of kick. And I'm telling you, you're right. NFL fans are going to look at this and go, what in the ever-loving bleep is this? Even though, you know, both kickoff returns in both leagues were around 94%, the injury rate for both leagues when it comes to concussions were almost identical. The NFL decided to go with the XFL version, which is not as visually similar to what you're used to when it comes to NFL kickoffs. I explained that as well visually as I possibly could.
I saw some videos of it today because I watched the XFL some, but I didn't remember exactly the specifics. And I saw some videos of it today in some plays. And of course, the plays I was seeing were, you know, run backs and like the ones where it really worked and it was super exciting and it was cool. But I think overall, it just nobody has time to build up the speed. So before they collide,
correct,
is
correct.
My point, because they're 5 yards apart. So it's more like. It's more like an O-line and a D-line not being particularly far apart than people running towards each other down a field full speed. And that's where the collisions, of course, with these athletes and the best athletes in the world running full speed at each other, obviously, that was going to create a problem when you gave them 100 yards to do it, essentially.
Yes, yes or no, do you think NFL fans will accept the optics and the visual and then the actual play of this new kickoff?
What do you mean? You don't think NFL fans are progressive and innovative? They're not known for that, Ian. I do think eventually people will settle into this idea. I think it'll be incredibly jarring at first, but if it works for player safety, I think they'll have to get used to it. Coming up next, the UFL season is right around the corner. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.